On the show today, we have Filene's very own Adam Lee talking about the reaching Minority Households Incubator Report. The results are in. So check it out. Adam Lee from Filene Research Institute. How are you, man? How are you? Good to see you.
Doing well. Thanks for taking the time, Mike. I'm really excited about the topic du jour and can't wait to chat about it.
Yeah, this one's been percolating. This one's been brewing for a while, and now you guys have the fruits of your labor at our grass. So we're talking about your study, Reaching Minority Households Incubator Report, and this is a compilation of five products you guys tested. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, give us a quick 411 on all this.
You bet. So it was a great program, the second iteration of our incubator function, where we've been focusing on testing programs for financially vulnerable households. Mm-hmm. And over 2 years ago, we engaged in a partnership with Visa and the Ford Foundation to launch a second incubator with a focus really on how do we close that financial inclusion gap for minority households.
Yep.
And we set off about 2.5 years ago to test five different programs, ranging from some payday loan alternatives, microfinance small business lending program, mm-hmm. A non-prime auto lending, data-mined auto loans, mm-hmm. as well as I-10 lending program to help those individuals without social security numbers or non-citizens. And we've tested those five programs, and the testing is all in. The results are in. The report has been written. The insights have been documented. And now we are proud to launch it to the marketplace with real goal of having other financial institutions take these ideas and put them into practice.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm on an episode of The Bachelor at the very end. Who gets the final rose here, Adam?
We want all credit unions and community-oriented financial institutions to get that rose of making a difference.
That's right. So I want to step back for a second here before we get into the winners and what you guys learned and that type of stuff. What prompted this study? Why did you guys go into this study? What started it all?
Yeah. I mean, there was a real recognition, I think, from both Filene and some of our partners like Visa and the Ford Foundation of the financial access gap that exists for minority households. Mm-hmm. It's pretty astounding when you look at some of the data that just the general access to basic functions like checking accounts, savings accounts, the real basic soup to nuts thing that you really need to function mm-hmm. in our society is really out of the reach for a lot of individuals for a variety of reasons. But not only the basics like financial checking, you recognize that to really improve your situation and to build a better life for yourself or your community, you need a lot more than access to checking accounts and savings accounts. You need things like credit cards, auto loans, personal loans, different types of small dollar loans for income volatility that are a lot better than going down to a payday lender or other types of predatory lenders.
No doubt.
There's just that lack of access that we all collectively recognize that's mm-hmm. just unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And if our mission as financial institutions, and especially credit unions, as financial cooperatives, is to support the community, we got to start providing those types of products and services if we really want to make a dent in closing the under and unbanked rate, as well as enabling people with the tools that they need to build a better life for themselves and communities.
Indeed, and it all starts right here. So let's get down to kind of to meat and potatoes here. What were a couple of findings that you guys discovered? What were some takeaways that you guys learned? Basically, what products worked, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the biggest thing that we learned from the incubator is that in some respect, all the programs that we tested have a lot of merit. Like they were identified because they were making a difference on a small scale. So really through a lot of our testing, we try to see which one of these could really make a wide difference as quickly as possible on a much broader scale. So I think to a lot of readers that can go out and look at, there's a lot of valuable nuggets for all those programs that we tested. Now, that being said, we understand that credit unions have limited time and resources. Mm-hmm. So if you really need to focus in on some of those concepts that can make the biggest difference mm-hmm. in the lives of people, one of the programs that really stood out was the I-10 lending program.
Mm-hmm.
We also called it the non-citizen lending program to serve different types of populations that may not have social security numbers. These could be Hispanic populations, recent immigrants, refugee populations that are in the United States, a wide variety of people that traditionally don't have access to a lot of mainstream financial services. What we found in the testing was just the sheer number of people, the desirability of this concept that was taken up in the community. Some of these credit unions had never done this before.
Wow.
And they were able to issue a large number of loans in a relatively short period of time. What was also very intriguing from the findings was the profitability or the financial sustainability of that particular concept.
Mm-hmm.
testing period, we identified that a lot of these programs created a healthy financial return for the institution, mm-hmm. as well as helping the bottom line of the members as well. Mm-hmm. So the Tin Lending Program, I think, is great because a lot of people get that misconception of that. It's not so much a product, but it's a way to distribute a lot of concepts that people already have, credit cards, personal loans, auto loans, but really opening it up to a much wider population. Mm-hmm. Through that process of ITIN lending, using the individual taxpayer identification number. Mm-hmm.
That's the acronym. I was about to ask you, what does that acronym mean?
Be able to use that process and use different forms of identification to provide access to people. And one of the most interesting things that we always find in our incubators too is that some of the lowest tech, simplest concepts are the ones that credit unions can scale very quickly. You don't have to spend a lot of money on technology to have an impactful program. That this is something that credit unions inherently already have in their toolkit. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of going things in a slightly different way to expand, broadly expand access to a different population. Mm-hmm. That was probably one program that stood out in our testing that really received the most positive results in terms of scalability, financial sustainability, and consumer impact.
You're in my head, Adam, because I was going to ask you that next question. Like, okay, what requirements I guess constitutes a winner, so to speak, in this one. So you just said it, scalability. What were the other ones again?
I just go through those again. So scalability, you know, obviously the concepts that we're trying to get is to the broadest possible reach in the marketplace, because that's where you really start moving the needle on financial inclusion. Not a few credit unions doing things here or there, but if you have credit unions and other community banks or financial institutions doing this en masse, you need to answer that question of scalability is, can financial institutions take this concept, implement it with relatively few barriers, but also then be able to launch it to a large population? The second is desirability. So at the end of the day, you can have a lot of bells and whistles, some shiny concepts, but do people actually want it? But it also comes from the aspect of the credit. Does the staff like it? Do they actually want to issue this concept? Mm-hmm. Financial sustainability is another huge one. Credit unions and other financial institutions are not charities. They're in the business of being able to generate a healthy return so that they can keep their doors open. So that's another thing we really want to test for, is that can we get that win-win where it helps the bottom line of the consumer, but also the financial institution. And then financial desirability, scalability, those are the real big ones. And then, of course, consumer impact. And at the end of the day, we want to see that move that needle. And we've asked in our research report some survey questions. Did this make a difference in your life? Did it improve your financial situation? What we found overwhelmingly for all the programs that we tested was that over 96% of minority households, this is not everybody, if we really want to focus on the population that we are attempting to really enable, over 96% of those individuals would recommend or use that loan again. It was a really astounding result. So we really think we were able to focus in on some programs that made a difference or an impact. Lives of financially vulnerable households.
Because that's where people start talking about it, right? The word of mouth, and that's where it really spreads. So, and that's the best, I mean, we all know that's the best form of advertising marketing is the word of mouth, because it's coming from a peer. So really cool stuff here. Anything else to add on that? I'm sorry.
I think if we can tick all those boxes, those are where we see some of the winners, right? Yeah. As I mentioned at the start of our conversation, every single program that we tested has merit and every institution should consider them. But if we're really thinking about investing our time and resources into helping promote and helping institutions implement these ideas, we have to focus in on those concepts that can really make that big difference, that check all those boxes.
Right. And I was reading through there. It's like some of them can work together to complement each other, right? Or they're not just kind of standalone things. You can couple two or three of them together, and then they can kind of complement each other and that type of thing. Is that something that's that could be in the works as well?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest, another takeaway that we had with the research too, is that these are not standalone concepts, right? No single intervention, no single loan can help people, for a lot of populations, help them get into a better financial situation, but it really takes a sustained effort by credit unions and other financial institutions over time. And frankly, coupling these programs with other types of support mechanisms, right? There are deep systemic issues that are in these people's lives. That you need much more than just ITIN lending. And some other programs that we tested, for example, like a small dollar loan, perhaps some of these individuals, one of the great stories that came out of our research was an individual called Sarah at Point West Credit. They'd issued a small business loan, and she was able to launch a small tamale shop in Portland. Great, big, successful business. It's a great video you can check out on the Finance website.
Yeah,
that's just an example of using this concept of ITIN lending, but also small business lending, truly drive economic development and create opportunities for people and communities. Mm-hmm. Couple those ideas together with additional wraparound services such as financial education, literacy, sustained efforts of with these populations can really make a difference over the long term.
So what are the next steps for these go for, I guess, the winner, I guess, or the one that was kind of, I guess, the most doable of all of them. So what are the next steps for it to go to commercialize it, I guess, for lack of better terminology?
Great question. Yeah. So with the iTunes lending program specifically, we're proud to be working with Copera Consulting.
Oh, yeah.
As Juntos Avanzamos, mm-hmm. from the Federation of Community Development Credit Unions. Working together, both those organizations have had a long history of helping advise credit unions to do ITIN lending. You know, mm-hmm. ITIN lending as a concept has been around for many, 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 many years. And I think the report that we did really reinforces that concept.
Right, right.
Working with those two organizations to take the collective best practices that they've had, as well as what we've learned in our research, combining our forces and combining our research and background, mm-hmm. to create some sort of a comprehensive toolkit that we can offer free of charge to the marketplace, yeah. with the ultimate goal of getting more financial institutions and credit unions to take on this particular concept. Mm-hmm. Working very hard on that concept, and we hope to be delivering that toolkit, you know, basically free resources, examples, you know, guide, and basically a 101 manual on do ITIN lending. By the end of 2018.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll be talking again, Adam, with you and the folks from Coopera. Very cool. So how can credit unions kind of leverage this information? How can they use it? I mean, how can they get involved with the ITIN program or any of the other ones that they might be interested in?
Yeah. So I think that's a great message to be able to give, is that credit unions don't have to wait, right? We've tested a lot of other programs in our prior incubators that mm-hmm. have also had a lot of merit. For example, we tested a concept in our prior incubator called the employer-sponsored small dollar loan, uh-huh. ESSDL, where credit unions can partner with employers and be able to offer small dollar loans to the workplace. An incredibly successful program,
okay,
as well as a non-prime auto lending program, and another small dollar loan alternative with a built-in savings component called Borrow and Save. Those are three concepts like ITIN that we found were big winners in our prior incubator. Mm-hmm. We have all of those free implementation guides and toolkits available on our website right now. So
okay.
credit can go in, take a look at those concepts, and start working on them now. Another way to take action is obviously by reading the report. As I mentioned, there are a lot of insights and best practices mm-hmm. that I think we learned from our research that credit unions can apply to the concepts that they already have, right? They don't have to launch something new to learn from this research about how to provide access to minority households and other financially vulnerable populations. And then finally, as we mentioned, we're working on the ITIN Lending Guide Toolkit, and we may consider addressing some of the other concepts that we tested in this incubator and mm-hmm. building up implementation guides. The best way for institutions to take action on that is go to our website. We have some nice forms that people can fill out, and we'll notify them as soon as those resources are available.
Cool, cool, very cool. And to wrap up here, where can folks find the report and get some more information, some more details? Because this is basically a 100-page report, so there's a lot of details, a lot of information. So, I mean, no, it's very comprehensive. That's a good thing, believe me. So where can they go to get the report to find out some more information and get interested in maybe a couple of these products that they can offer their members?
Absolutely. The easiest way is to go to the Filene website. So if you go to filene.org, and it's another great thing. You can check out our new website. So Filene, we just relaunched our website. We're real proud of it to provide greater access to a lot of the great research that we do. But if you go to that, the easiest way to find it right now, if you go there soon, mm-hmm. It's one of the most prominent research reports just listed on our website. So you should be able to find it on the homepage.
Okay.
If you're having trouble finding it, if you just type in Reaching Minority Households or RMH, that enhanced search function that we now have, you should be able to easily find that report.
Okay, cool.
It'll take you to that homepage. It'll give you a small form to fill out. We encourage credit unions and other institutions to do that as well. One of the biggest things we're trying to do is capture our measured impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
We actually want to know what institutions are doing with this information so that we can collectively share that. But here's the number of institutions that are implementing. Here are the number of consumers that, as a credit union movement, we're collectively impacting.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage you to be able to fill out that form and help keep in touch with us as collect this impactful data.
Right on, right on. The more data we have, the better. That's what we've learned over here over the last few years, for sure. Data, data, data. Gotta have it. So very cool. All right, Adam. And we'll put that link in the show notes too, so people can just click on it and get right to it. So, but the, I encourage people to go to the Phylene website anyway and just kind of hunt and peck around for, there's all sorts of great information there.
Tons
anyway,
of resources tons available of in addition to this report. Yep. Absolutely.
Indeed. All right, Adam, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate the time. And looks like we may be talking again later this year to talk about the, how you guys are working with Coopero with this, with the winner program, the one that got the rose.
It definitely got the rose.
All right.
La rosa.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, Adam, thanks again. Appreciate the time, man. Always well done.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.